Welcome, welcome everyone. My name is Sean, and today I was going to give you a recap of my Minds panel, which will be linked in full in the description. But unfortunately, after my panel, Steven, Destiny, who was on the panel with me, decided to call me close to a grifter or some other nonsense like that, and accused me of running defense for all these crazy right-wing positions that I did not actually run defense for. So I want to address that nonsense, some other nonsense, because I get sent clips from him doing things to me that he criticizes other people for doing to him. And I think this is a very teachable moment, because I don't believe that there's malice or ill intent in any of this. But the fact is, you sometimes get blinded by your own perspective. And I want to point this out. On top of that, this kind of thing has caused problems for me before, so I want to address it. But before we get into that, I want to thank everybody who signed up over at actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money, okay?
Your support is really appreciated.
Not going to lie, I thought it would have been a fun conversation between you and Sean, but the pasta dude bringing up Spanish countries are better than doesn't say why. Oh, I don't... Sean... I feel like I hate Sean the most. I hate Sean the most because I think I have the highest expectations of him. Like, Sean is a decently smart guy. Sean is a pretty smart guy. I know he is. I can tell by the way he speaks and the way that he considers ideas. And he plays such an unbelievable amount of defense for the people there.
So first of all, Steven, I appreciate the compliment. Obviously, I am the smartest person on planet Earth, 10,000 IQ, and you should have the highest expectations for me. And honestly, no hard feelings about you hating me the most. Again, I take it all as compliments. What I don't appreciate, though, is the examples that you're going to run into, because they're not very good.
Like, when the guy to the right of me said that, oh, all these cases got thrown out on standing, I was like, well, the standing actually had to do with, like, evidentiary shit. And then Trump was like, actually, that's not considered standing. I'm like, yeah, no, you're right. It's not standing. It's like pretrial, like when the complaint is filed, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, you shouldn't call it standing because that's not what he's... And I was like, why are you even fighting me on this point? Clearly, the actual substance of what this guy said was wrong, that it all got thrown out on standing, when the reality was most of them were thrown out on evidentiary grounds. But it's just like, yeah, it's just cringe that he runs so much defense for.
So one of the things that Steven often criticizes other people for doing to him, that he in fact just did to me right there, is talking about them, referencing them, without actually playing the clip in question that backs up their point. And right here, this is him misinterpreting what I said. Maybe if he rewatched the video, he would understand the point I was trying to make, because when you watch the clip, clearly and obviously, I wasn't trying to obfuscate the cases that were brought forward by Trump that had no merit. I was just pointing out that standing is not about evidence. It's about whether or not you have the ability to sue, whether or not you're a wronged party.
I would like to also say that 50 of the 60 lawsuits were dismissed on not on standing, procedural edgers. It wasn't like, you know, a judge who a system that puts them in power is going to discredit that same system because that's what got them elected. So, I mean, there's lawsuits that go on all the time. They're always thrown out. They're always kicked back to the state. They don't want to deal with this over here. So, yes, by far, when everybody says the lawsuit issue, they don't know what they're talking about, because 50 of these 60 lawsuits were dismissed, not on standing. And like I said, at the end of the day, are you going to discredit a system that's going to put you in power? No, you're not going to do it.
So when we say they were knocked out on standing, so there was a conservative group of lawmakers that actually looked at each and every single one of these cases. When you say knocked out on standing, part of that standing is on evidentiary grounds. That is true. If you submit a complaint in any courthouse and your complaint has almost no merit, and if the relief that you're seeking is unbelievable, like asking for an entire state to be flipped, yeah, it'll likely be tossed. The reality is that there just wasn't really good grounds of evidence on any of the complaints that were filed, except for the one case they won that got, I think 100 votes, like, switched or tossed out or whatever. Most of the cases, well, basically all of the cases, were just garbage.
I mean, that's just factually inaccurate on what standing is. Standing means you were directly impacted by it, so you can bring a suit. So to say that it was dropped on standing based on evidence doesn't make any sense.
That is true. You're right. When people say that, it's not actually true. They weren't dropped on standing. They were dropped in pretrial before it actually went to court, and people confuse that with standing, but most of them, over 30 of them, were dropped on evidentiary grounds because they didn't have evidence to even prima facie make the case.
All right. I mean, that's fine to make that case. You could have just said he was wrong, but instead you said standing is actually evidence, which is just factually untrue. A Google search could tell you that.
Now, you might have caught at the end of that, I actually followed it up with you you guys should argue about the particular cases. And this is because the pasta guy is way more into the 2020 stuff than I am. And I actually thought that would be a more interesting conversation rather than name the number of cases and then argue about standing being related to evidence when it's not related to evidence. I mean, I do a criminal justice show where I talk about a bunch of different legal issues. I'm not a lawyer, but a basic concept like that, I'm going to want to clarify. I'm going to want to explain. So this wasn't done to obfuscate or anything like that. But ultimately, this ends up leading to Steven referring to me as a grifter when prompted by somebody in his audience. And to be clear, technically, he said almost a grifter. But we'll clarify this.
Or when Sean was saying things, is Sean a grifter? I think Sean is pretty close to a grifter. I would say that, yeah. Because he's smarter than the scene that he's in, and he knows better. And you can tell by the way that he runs defense that it's, like, very intentional.
The reason I'm very intentional in the way that I speak is in the hopes that I won't be misconstrued. So, for instance, if I were a grifter or whatever, and by the way, this is my job, so technically I do this for money. To be clear about that, I'm one of the people who probably hides that the least, that this is what I do for work. I don't pretend that I sell memberships on my website because I'm conducting a social experiment, or I have a Patreon for that purpose, or whatever. It's because I want you guys to support what I'm doing if you appreciate what I'm doing. But during the course of this conversation, of this debate, I took a very unpopular position among many people in the Trump camp, and it's the position that I always repeat anytime the issue of 2020 comes up, which is William Barr was absolutely correct when he told Trump that his campaign needed to set aside money in order to challenge these laws before the election. And I criticized Trump and, in fact, blamed Trump for not doing so.
Because it's not like there was somebody stuffing the ballots or anything. It's they changed the rules and the laws and how the elections were conducted in public. So in Pennsylvania, their constitution forbid mail-in voting. They did it anyway. Now, I will say it is the fault of the Trump campaign team for not challenging it early. Anybody could have told him, and in fact, Bill Barr did tell him that he should put together money in order to challenge these laws, because doing it after the election, they're never going to undo it once that bell's already rung.
Because you can complain all you want about mail-in balloting being unconstitutional under Pennsylvania's state constitution, but if you don't actually put the money up in order to challenge it before the election, and then you expect the Supreme Court to toss it out after the fact, that's never going to happen. And the fact is, that's what Trump did. That's one of the reasons why I was very unsympathetic to his 2020 election claims. That's the reason why I told you guys straight up a day or 2 days after the election that there was no way that this was going to be overturned by the Supreme Court, because these laws were meant to be challenged prior to that. And the fact that there are declarations that Pennsylvania's mail-in voting system was unconstitutional after the fact obviously aren't going to mean that retroactively Trump is going to become president. So yeah, that was a mistake on Trump's part. This is something that I've not been ambiguous about. I said it on the stage, but apparently I'm just running all this defense for these crazy Republicans, no matter what they say, because I want the money from you.
All right, I gotta say this. So I know what you're talking about. It's the repeal the 19th crowd. And I just want to make this as clear as possible. Anyone who's pushing this, it is a LARP. It is never going to happen. Women vote more than men because they're a larger population than men in the United States of America. This is internet brain on steroids. And if you're like, oh, this is how conservatives win, then nut up and say that the 15th Amendment should be repealed. But none of these pussies want to do that because that would be racist, but it's cool to make fun of women. Like, that's also a LARP. It's not going to happen. Enough is enough.
On top of that, I'm also getting crap for pointing out that all these repeal the 19th dorks are actually being safe edgy because they're attacking women rather than saying that they should repeal the 15th Amendment, because that would involve actually being accused of being a racist, even though all of their arguments apply to black voters way more than they apply to women voters, and black voters are in the key swing states. So if you're going to say we want the R team to win by subtracting from the voter base, that would actually be the most efficient way to do so. Now, I'm against that as well, to be clear about that. I was just pointing out the cowardice in the repeal the 19th argument, and I'm still getting crap for that, even though I did that on the stage, but I guess that's all part of the elaborate grift that I'm running.
I remember there was a time when Sean was saying, it had to do with the voting machines, and Sean was like, well, he's not saying that the voting machines rigged. I'm using an example. It was something like this, but not this. He's like, he's not saying that the votes were all rigged. He's just saying it's possible they were. And I'm like, no, he's saying they were. And he's like, well, I didn't hear him say that. I'm not going to say this. Well, let's ask him. And he's like, yeah, it was rigged. I'm like, yeah, he just said that. Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, to be fair to Steven, he did say that he's not saying it's this precise example. He's saying it's something like this. But the thing is, the devil is in the details with this kind of thing. And considering that the issue was about ballot harvesting and about the pasta guy saying that ballot harvesting was legal in a bunch of these different states, and then Steven responding with, do you have any evidence of this?
So they can print ballots, make ballots, distribute ballots, and with ballot harvesting legal in 27 states, they can stuff the ballot box. And that's exactly what they did.
Why is it that...
So right here, earlier on in the conversation, he references the 27 states that have some variety of ballot harvesting legislation on the books that makes it legal. This is what I was referring to later. And by the way, he mentions this twice.
We do use proprietary software, but to his point, he said it's legal to ballot harvest in 27 states. So you're like, is there any evidence for this? It's in the law. It says you can do this. This is something that they did in California.
But the ballot harvesting claims are not that you're allowed to go to a senior...
I don't hear him saying, like, Dinesh D'Souza, there's 2,000 mules or whatever. I don't know how...
Well, yeah, he's saying there are millions of fake ballot stuff. People are going to a nursing home and collecting people's ballots.
Referring to policy in terms of mail-in voting, which, again, is banned.
But he's also referring that he thinks that last year millions of fake ballots were filled out.
I'll let him speak for himself.
Fraudulent ballots.
Now, the reason I brought this up was not to run cover or anything like that. It was to clarify the point, because we were originally talking about 27 states that had legal ballot harvesting. But then when he shifts it to, oh, they're the fraudulent ballots, which I said in the opening where I criticized the Trump campaign for not fighting this out before on the advice of William Barr, that is where he changes it up and I drop the subject. I was just trying to clarify in this situation, yet I'm being read with the worst intent possible. Then my clarification on this point, I would have thought would have been useful. So, you know, we could actually talk about the thing that we're actually supposed to be talking about. But apparently, I don't get the courtesy of, you know, you actually running the clip of what I actually said, because that might actually change the context of it. And again, I understand that this is probably just laziness right here in this moment. Also, in this exchange, I call nonsense on the idea that it somehow doesn't make sense that Joe Biden would have gotten more votes than Barack Obama when the American population is significantly larger than when Barack Obama ran both times.
I spend enough time on these panels, maybe. But,
I know this is kind of like a baseless point, but the fact that, you know, Donald Trump filled stadiums and Joe Biden couldn't fill my living room was really kind of odd, too, don't you think? Like, nobody showed up for this guy, but all of a sudden we expect to believe that this guy got more votes than Barack Obama, who had more votes than any election ever there, by like 9 million votes?
Is it really that surprising? You could probably get more children to show up to the circus than you could for a civics class, so that doesn't really surprise me at all.
That's one of my least favorite points, I gotta be honest. We have way more population in 2020 than we did when Obama was running, so it actually makes sense.
But the fact of the matter is, I end up in situations where people send me clips, and sometimes they're from Steven, who, by the way, doesn't talk about me that often, so it's not that big of a deal, where this kind of thing consistently happens. So for instance, there was a clip from my appearance on the Culture War. It went viral on Twitter. It starts off like this from the Twitter clip. She initiated the divorce in legal documents.
I think she's entitled to nothing during this.
Just as a quick thing, whoever... Okay. Oh, these trigger me.
Now, this sets off about a minute-long rant from Steven about how it's really dumb for people to focus on who initiates the divorce in legal documents, because that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the person who is responsible for the divorce, caused the divorce, etc. And I'll play a little bit of that for you right here.
There's like several layers to how dumb this comment was, okay?
She initiated the divorce in legal documents.
Anybody can initiate a divorce, regardless. Even if one side wants to begin divorce proceedings, the other side could initiate it. Initiating is just when you're filling out the paperwork, it's who the petitioner is and who the respondent is. It doesn't matter. A divorce is always going to have the same two parties involved, husband and wife. It doesn't matter who the petitioner is. It doesn't matter who initiates it. It doesn't matter, okay? Number one. Number two, just because somebody wants to do the divorce doesn't even necessarily mean it's their fault. I like how people will go to like, oh, well, whoever initiated the divorce is the one who wants the divorce or the one who caused the divorce. Like, that's a really reductive way to look at things, right? Let's say that I have a wife and I start shitting myself all day because I'm bored, and I start throwing it all over the apartment because why the fuck not? And then my wife divorces me, right? Is that her initiating divorce because she just wants to leave the marriage and she's abandoning her husband and abandoning the sanctity of marriage? Or is it my fault for smearing shit over it? Like, it's such a weirdly reductive way to view relationships. I don't understand this, like, whoa, initiated, blah, blah, like, relationships take two people.
And the reason I find this to be particularly annoying is because that was the exact point that I made. I mean, even in the beginning, when you hear me say, yes, she initiated the divorce in legal documents with that caveat, would lead you to believe that maybe if you brought the clip back maybe 30 seconds or something like that, then it would completely change the context.
She initiated the divorce in legal documents. She initiated the divorce in legal documents.
I think she's entitled to nothing for, I believe she initiated the divorce.
She filed, but like, remember, she filed after Crowder had already hired a lawyer and moved out of the house and cut her off financially. So, like, technically, she initiated the divorce in legal documents.
I think she's entitled to nothing.
Now, again, I also made a follow-up video to that appearance where I explained in great detail that 80% of divorces are initiated by women stat is completely fake, debunked a whole bunch of other red pill divorce-related stats because I don't hold the positions that are currently being ascribed to me in this moment in time by Steven, and I didn't expect him to watch that follow-up video. But you could have just sought out the clip and brought it back 30 seconds rather than go on a rant and portray me as somebody who's in the red pill camp in terms of the person who files for divorce, definitely 100% the guilty party in that particular scenario, as if nothing else preceded that. And the thing is, normally I let this go. I mean, people say nonsense about me all the time. I mean, I get called a racist every day on the internet. It's almost like people are greeting me with that word at this point in time. But the fact of the matter is, this does end up having consequences because some people don't actually watch my videos. They don't actually get my context. They end up going based on what other people say. And this has actually cost me appearances before. I'll give you an example of something that this almost cost me. So when I was going to be on Culture War with Emma Viglin, I actually got a call from Tim Pool's booker, who's a friend of mine, Lisa, great person, by the way. And she called to say that Emma was really upset that they were trying to book her opposed to somebody who talks about the transes nonstop, who makes their whole channel about transgender issues. Now, I almost never cover that issue. And the reason why is because outside of sports and children, and even not that much in terms of those categories, I don't find it all that interesting. I don't care what adults do, what procedures they get, or anything like that. And it's not really one of my issues. But that almost cost me that appearance based on somebody, who is not Steven, by the way, who definitely was acting maliciously, spreading all this nonsense behind my back on the left-wing side and feeding that information to Emma. I'll let you guys guess who I might have debated in the past that was probably behind that. But a lot of the time, in these particular situations, it doesn't go that way. A lot of times, I get a call up about positions that I've never taken, about issues that I've never or almost never talked about, and then the other person ends up canceling the stream, or the appearance, or the whatever, and it's all because people end up taking information out of the context, out of what I actually said, what I actually intended, or going based on rumors, and it's situations like this that allow it to spread. On top of that, the reason why this annoys me even more is that I actually paid to go to this event, which is something that I never do. Typically, when you go to these events and you're a speaker, your flight and your hotel is covered. But for whatever reason, the flights to Austin were ungodly expensive. For me and the fiance, I spent about $1,800. And just to clarify, before anybody makes this suggestion, this is a standard ticket. I was sitting in what is called Main 2 under Delta, which is economy class. So yeah, it was $1,800 for two economy class tickets. Now, I happen to know the booker of this particular event, and he usually will reimburse the speakers for their flights. That's a typical standard part of the deal. However, when I told him about the price, he said, look, I'm going to come out of pocket, but it hurts me because I'm losing a bunch of money. And honestly, I don't know if I can cover the full thing of the flight. So because it was my friend, I actually ended up paying for this because I had already been promoting the event to you guys out there in the audience. And if any of you bought tickets to come out to see me, I wasn't going to let an issue like paying for a plane ticket separate you guys from getting what you actually paid for. So while there were definitely notable people who were announced as speakers at different various points in time for this event who backed out for whatever reason, some of them were family emergencies, so no shade toward those people, I didn't want to be one of those people. So I came out of pocket and actually paid to go. And by the way, one of the reasons why I did that on top of that is because Jimmy Dore was going to be there. And I wanted to ask everyone everybody knows the questions that I wanted to ask Jimmy Dore, given the opportunity. And by the way, for those of you who are wondering, I did in fact get to meet Jimmy Dore and his wife in the green room. However, I didn't get to ask him the questions that I wanted to ask him because Jimmy was also here for the event, and my plan was to actually, you know, not ambush some guy and start an argument in front of his wife because that's not a decent thing to do, and instead try to talk to him after he finished his set because he is somebody who came here to do the event as well. The event is not all about me, so I waited for that opportunity and didn't even get a chance to approach him later on. So essentially, I dropped $1,800 in order to ask Jimmy Dore a couple of questions, and I didn't get to do so, and now I have Steven referring to me as a grifter for things that I've never said. Now look, of course, I had a fine time, I was able to hang out with my friends, meet some of you, but it's really obnoxious to have this come from Steven, who I don't think I've ever gone out of my way to be disrespectful to. In fact, when a lot of people were using his own personal situation in order to clickbait videos, I didn't want to do that to him, so I just didn't cover it because that's his personal business. And on top of that, I ended up running into an organizer after he was confronted by Alex Stein, where I explained the situation between Steven and Alex Stein, because while I don't have an issue with Alex Stein at all whatsoever personally, I've seen him confront Steven and say the same things to him, I think at like three separate events. And he's kind of made it clear that he doesn't want to share a stage with Alex, so the organizers should probably honor that if they expect him to keep coming to the events. Now, somewhere in all of that mess, maybe you can only see it if you're wearing Steven's special contacts, I was grifting and taking all these crazy right-wing positions and defending all these crazy people for that sweet, sweet grifter cash, and if you can clarify those points for me, Steven, and tell the person to send me a check to my P.O. box, it will be linked in the description, I'd really appreciate that, because if I did all that grifting for all that grifting cash, I would at least like to be paid. Now look, even though I'm annoyed by this, the fact of the matter is, being called a grifter is part of the game. This is something that is going to happen to you if you make content on theinternet.com. One of the more annoying moments of that happening was actually during the course of this month, where we were raising money under Anna Kasparian's name for a 9-year-old girl who was murdered, and somehow me donating three times what that video was expected to make is part of the grift. It's the grift, the raising money for them, which, by the way, I'm going to link that fundraiser. You guys did an excellent job in supporting that, and I really appreciate it. I said it before, and I'll say it again. You guys honor me when you follow up with stories like that and help the victims based on my coverage, so I really do appreciate that. It's one of the best ways to show your appreciation for this channel is to actually take positive action in this world. But point being, no matter what you do, you're going to be labeled this. But I expect a little better from Steven, not that he's my friend or he owes me anything, because he uses the very same tactics that he criticizes other people for using it against him. And I actually have never done this to him at all whatsoever, so I don't appreciate it. On top of that, I don't appreciate the downstream consequences that this kind of crap has for me and why I don't do as many appearances as I would want to do, because yeah, I would love to have debates, conversations, or whatever, but I don't like having to have those things canceled at the last minute or people back out, you know, because I totally defended a crazy position or I hold a position that I don't actually hold. Now, like I said at the top, and I will repeat again, I don't read bad intent in this particular situation. I just think this is a combination of laziness and bad assumptions. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong if you guys find any bad intent or anything down in the comments below. As usual, if you like this video, you can show them by leaving a like. Subscribe for more content, follow me on the social media, support me via support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about some of the nonsense post-mines. Till next time.